It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and kind of a serious topic today, actually. We'll be talking about aging, specifically Alzheimer's. Renew Senior Communities, which, if you're not familiar, ironically, those of you that have spent a lot of time on Midland Avenue because of the 27th Street Bridge may have spent a lot of time looking at the Renew facility in Glenwood.
Parked right in front of it.
Right, exactly. Parked in front of it for a long time this summer and the last several months. Lee Touchfarber is the CEO of Renew. Kind of spending, like, straddling, you told me, I think.
Straddling, driving back and forth. A little bit of a road warrior these days.
And a little bit of a telecommuter, too, I imagine.
Yeah.
Even if you're not
all
here,
the above.
Yeah, you're still here. Right, exactly. Brian Welker is Lee's marketing guy.
That's right. And, agency of record.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we would say in the biz, right? A little bit later on, we'll be talking with Dr. Tim Boyd. He's actually going to kick off Renew Roaring Fork's talk series, a number of different subjects about aging and that kind of thing. So, Lee, kind of bring us up to date. The facility, of course, I would call it the old Racket Club. Some people remember that. You may not, because you're actually fairly new to Colorado,
well,
right?
I'm aware of it.
Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota.
And, yeah, I'm sure you have. I'm sure I'm not the first person that's brought up, you know, what used to be there 30 years ago.
Yeah, everything here used to be something, right?
Exactly, exactly. But to bring everybody up to date on Renew, the facility itself has actually been open about 3 years. Your company has been managing it since January.
Since January, yeah. So I moved to Colorado in January. There was another company that was managing it for a couple of years, and I built a team, sort of a dream team, that is designed to really transform the offering in this industry. And so we came in New Year's of 2018 and started, starting initiatives to move in that direction.
And this day and age, obviously, assisted care facilities, that kind of thing, have been around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Particularly in the last 10 years, the memory care facility has become more well-known. Is that because there's more of a need for that sort of thing, or is it just the industry adjusting to what has always been important?
I think it's both those things sort of combined or compounding on one another. Demand is growing just unfortunately, 1 in 3 people, 85 plus, have dementia. And so the statistics are just ramping up as the boomer generation is sort of, moving along the timeline. So that's probably a big part of it. And, you know, there are a number of other reasons, probably just there's just overall awareness into the financial impact of dementia and things of that sort.
Is there – I hear dementia and I hear Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously dementia in general kind of means beginning to lose some cognitive ability. But so is Alzheimer's just more specific about what exactly is causing that? Okay. All right. So the two are pretty much
Dementia is sort of a banner term underneath it. There's a number of specific types of dementia. There's frontotemporal lobe dementia, right? There's Alzheimer's disease. That's another subtype. And there's a whole spectrum of others as well.
So when did you start thinking about having these talks, this talk series? When did this kind of come about?
Well, so it really started with over the last decade working in the industry, noticing that the industry is largely commodified. That is that people don't get excited about assisted living or memory care. Most people want to stay in their own home and never move out. People are just unimpressed by the offering. In fact, 9 out of 10 people don't want to move out of their home into any one of these communities. That to me means that there's a poor product market fit. In other words, what is being designed for the elderly demographic is not what they actually want. So it's a place where there can be a lot of creativity brought in, new ideas brought from other industries like boutique hospitality. There are things that Airbnb is doing in their experiences platform. There are things being designed for millennials that are extraordinarily creative, fun, and experiential that can be translated to the senior demographic. That's not being done yet, but it should be done. And so for me, it's just an inspiring place to work and breathe new life into it. One of the ways that we can do that is collaborating with amazing experts in various aspects of healthcare, whether it be brain science or different aspects of gerontology or caregiving. So we were, months and months ago, we were introduced to the University of Colorado and some PhDs working on basically an extremely powerful treatment for Alzheimer's. And I got to know Dr. Tim Boyd and some of the people he's working with. And so this Renew Talk series is a program we can put on over time and bring in great expert authors and PhDs, et cetera, to speak on their areas of expertise.
Now, let's bring Dr. Boyd on the phone here in just a couple minutes. But there is a reception planned for this Thursday afternoon between 5 and 6 at Renew, again, at the intersection there of 27th and Midland in Glenwood. And then Dr. Boyd will actually start talking around 6 o'clock. He's got a presentation. I'm sure he'll probably hang around for questions afterward as well.
Absolutely. It'll be interactive Q&A.
All right. Again, this is the first of the Renew Roaring Fork Talk series. The other Renew is in the Denver area?
Mm-hmm.
Denver Metro?
It's in Aurora.
Okay. So is it close to like the Anschutz campus there? Or?
It's not far from Anschutz campus, which is actually where Dr. Boyd works out of.
Does his research mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Okay. We will take a quick break. We'll come back. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit with Dr. Tim Boyd about his research and maybe get a sneak peek of some of the topics that he'll be discussing Thursday night. Of course, his research is in the area of Alzheimer's disease, so very interesting stuff. Again, I guess baby boomers so far are the largest retiring generation, so that might also add to that demand and the need for memory care facilities like Renews. And then, of course, we'll come back and wrap things up after that and talk a little bit more specific about what's available here in Glenwood. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about the Renew Roaring Fork Talk Series, very first one this Thursday evening with Dr. Tim Boyd, who's joining us on the phone now from CU Denver and the Anschutz Medical Campus. So before we get into the serious talk about, Alzheimer's, that kind of thing, is that campus as daunting for you working there as it is for anybody that would have to go there? I mean, you've got the VA hospital, you've got CU Denver, you've got Children's all in that same area. Is it as scary for you as it is for those of us in the public that have to go there every now and then?
Well, I can understand that. It's like a maze getting around sometimes. But as a scientist, I think it's one of the most exciting places to be. It is rare to have such, anywhere in the United States, to have such phenomenal resources within all the research facilities, have the teaching of the physicians and the nurses and dental students and pharmacists. They're all taking the classes right there. And then you have probably, I think it's the largest VA hospital in the country that's right there on campus, just opened this past year. And then there's also Children's Hospital and University of Colorado Hospital, which are some of the tops in the nation. And to have all of that on one campus, and what you don't see yet is that golf course has now been... is going to be changed into a biotech park or a place where a lot of pharmaceutical companies or biotech companies could get started there. And the campus is really only going to be about a third of what it's supposed to be.
Wow.
So it is, it's phenomenal.
That's like, fertile ground.
It's growing right in front of our eyes.
And
right?
That is a big economic driver, too. I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
Now, obviously, those are all separate organizations, but are there opportunities for collaboration between you and other researchers in that same campus?
Oh, definitely. And we go to each other's talks. We see each other's work. It is driving a lot of inter-siloed, I would have to say, type of research.
That's
so,
cool.
You know, with our drug that we have in trials, we haven't really talked about it yet, but that's come out of the cancer field. And seeing talks about cancer or immunology and how that might actually relate to the nervous system, that's driving a lot of research. And, for instance, there's a drug that was used for lymphoma. It's a type of leukemia, blood cancer, and that's now being looked at for multiple sclerosis. So it's these kinds of interdisciplinary research that's going on that's so exciting for me as a scientist.
Just reading your bio this morning that I got in advance of the interview, and the thing that jumped out at me, I'm all about irony, and the first thing that I noticed is there is a connection between Alzheimer's and rheumatoid arthritis, not to the same degree, but it if you have one, you're less likely to have the other, it sounds like. I find that extraordinarily interesting and, yeah, more than a little bit ironic. But it's not necessarily about the disease. It sounds like it's more about the treatment, and the drugs you're using to treat RA are actually what may be helping combat the effects of Alzheimer's disease. And in some, am I reading this correctly? In some cases, actually reverse the effects?
Well, let me clarify a little bit on that. The drug that we found because of studying that relationship between RA and AD is not something you would use for RA. That would cause rheumatoid arthritis to be worse. This is a drug that is used to rebuild the immune system after chemotherapy or anybody has a low white blood cell count to keep them from getting infections and to get them out of the hospital sooner. But this drug is actually a protein that we make. It's a growth factor we make, and it works on our stem cells that make all of our white blood cells. And in rheumatoid arthritis, that growth factor is driving that disease. But that is, when you look at the immune system between RA and Alzheimer's disease, this was one of the things that popped out at us. For the longest time, they thought the drugs that did treat RA, like non-steroidal or anti-inflammatory drugs that are used for lowering pain and inflammation, they thought that was what was preventing Alzheimer's disease. And that drove the field for at least a decade. And finally, they did a very large trial, and they found out that two of the top ones actually made people worse if they were starting to show cognitive symptoms. So it wasn't NSAIDs that the RA patients were taking. It had to be something associated with the disease of RA that was preventing it. And you have to look at the immune system and how that's all ramped up in RA. And these growth factors are what's driving all of those immune cells in that disease. It's an autoimmune disease. Well, if you take those same growth factors and you put that into a model of Alzheimer's disease, that's where we found that it very quickly reversed it. It induced the immune system and amplified it in a way that went to the brain to attack the disease of Alzheimer's disease. Pretty phenomenal. That's the first experiment I did was putting one of these growth factors into one side of a brain of an Alzheimer's animal, and then the other side we didn't put it, and then looked at it one injection and looked at it 7 days later. It had cleared almost half the plaques from that side of the brain where we put the drug. It amplified the immune system, activated it enough to remove those plaques that are driving Alzheimer's disease.
So, Tim, basically the part of the immune system that is amplified in someone with RA, those growth factors, when sort of injected into someone with Alzheimer's disease, is what eats away the plaque and has all these other positive effects.
Yes.
I'm still amazed. I always, again, keep in mind, out of anybody in this room, I'm the most lay person here. I always thought once the memories were gone, right, in Alzheimer's disease, I thought that part of the brain was lost. Clearly, you're saying that is not the case, that you're actually able to bring some of that cognitive function back.
We are, and it might not be completely lost. What it does is, you know, if you ask somebody something or they can't remember something, that doesn't mean the memory is completely gone. It just might be that they can't recall it. So it might enhance the ability for somebody to recall something that they couldn't with dementia. But if the neurons are dying off and this regenerates those or causes that to be reversed, it might not actually bring back those memories, but it could allow for the person to make new memories. With Alzheimer's disease, one of the first things that happens with them is they cannot form a new memory. They forget that they ate 5 minutes ago or something like that. They'll ask the same question over and over again, but they still remember a lot of their old memories. It's only in the latter part of the disease that they start to lose those also.
So the brain is kind of like this mass of interconnected roads and streets. And right. Tim has a great analogy where we all know in Colorado that boulders fall from the mountain into the middle of the highway, causes a traffic jam, right? And so those connections can't move from street to street in the brain. What Tim is working on is a growth factor. It's kind of like a miracle grow for the brain. It clears the boulder out and repairs the street, almost as if you're repairing a wound on your finger. It has a similar effect. In fact, there's research being done outside of the United States that is where they're injecting this growth factor and using it on actual physical, like skin wounds. So it heals skin wounds.
Interesting.
Just as it heals wounds of blood vessels. It wow. heals the flesh.
Wow. And again, it's a drug you're using for something else, and then you say, hey, what if we used it for this as well? Just to be clear, Dr. Boyd, you said that this drug is still in trials, so it's clinical trials, so it's not something that's generally available to the public?
It's not. I guess a physician could prescribe it for any of their patients. We discourage that. Just because we think it has to be put through a trial where we can monitor for any adverse effects to make sure that they actually do have Alzheimer's disease and that it's being done in a controlled way. If we do hear some anecdotal reports from a physicians that might get a hold of us if they've tried this, but it's an extremely expensive drug, and if they were to prescribe it for their patients, we don't know how long they would need it, but it's well into the thousands per week. And insurance won't pay for it unless it's FDA approved for that.
Right. For that
we
use.
Need to know what, yeah. And if it was used in somebody where it might be contraindicated and it caused an adverse effect, it might not even be because of the drug, but it could be from something else, but they shouldn't be taking it. And if that's the case, then those adverse effects could really harm our trial. So we don't want people just using it off-label until we can actually prove that it's safe for long-term use in people with Alzheimer's disease and that it can actually have the efficacy that we found it with in the animal models. But there are some physicians that could prescribe it for their patients if they need to, but we discourage that. The trial that we have it in is a phase 2 trial. It's because it's been on the market for so long, it's been used in over 500,000 people very safely for the cancer patients that needed it. And our first trial was to just make sure that it was safe within people with Alzheimer's disease. So even though it's FDA approved, we still have to test it within an Alzheimer's disease population. Right. And we did that. That first trial is wrapping up next month, and then we'll publish the results in the beginning of next year. but we'll also be starting another trial in which we're going to extend the treatment for 6 months and look to see more on efficacy of, you know, for cognition and for what it's doing with pathology in the brain with that trial.
Who should attend your talk Thursday night? Doctors, nurses, anyone that may deal with anyone that has a potential for developing or that has Alzheimer's disease? Obviously, family members.
I believe anybody that's interested in Alzheimer's disease. I will try to be as clear about it as possible. I'm also giving some tips that lifestyle changes that people could do that would be helpful. There's a list of drugs that I would hope people would reconsider taking if they're taking them, such as Benadryl or whatever. My mom used to take, for instance, Benadryl for sleeping. Well, that prevents the neurons from interacting with each other correctly. And that is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease.
Interesting.
And so if you have a bee sting, by all means, and you're allergic, by all means, take Benadryl. But don't take Benadryl every night just to go to sleep. That's why it's making you drowsy, because your neurons can't communicate correctly. Wow. So there's a list of these drugs that I will give the people. And so anybody, I would recommend coming to this talk.
Dr. Boyd, I'm 44 years old. Can you tell me one or two things that are the main things I should be focused on in order to prevent or help prevent getting this disease?
Exercise, I would say, is the most important thing that I would tell somebody. And the other is eating healthy. And then I'll add one more, you get plenty of sleep. So those are probably the three top things that I would tell somebody. But there's other things, such as, you know, you want to make sure you don't have high blood pressure. A lot of people that do have high blood pressure don't even know it. So just make sure they get checked, and if they have it, there's some good drugs to manage that. Some of those drugs are actually in clinical trials for Alzheimer's disease. Mental stimulation. The best thing anybody can ever do for themselves is to learn something and to teach themselves as much as they can. Nobody can ever take away your knowledge. So that's the most, I'm a lifelong student probably, but that's one thing that somebody can always do for themselves. Managing stress, which, you know, that's very difficult to do driving on the roads around here, but gotta always keep that in mind.
You have no idea.
Yes, if you can hear our voice right now and you're in the left-hand lane, you probably shouldn't be.
It's funny you're talking about trying to learn something new every day. Brain power, just like muscle power, is one of those things you either use it or lose it, right?
Yeah.
If you're not continually cultivating those neurons, then they're going to go away. And as far as your three tips, I guess two out of three isn't bad.
Yeah, I feel like I get good sleep, I get good exercise, but my eating habits, you know, the sugar. Is there any correlation, Dr. Boyd, with sugar in your research in Alzheimer's, sugar intake? Because it certainly seems to be in everything we eat.
There is, actually. Alzheimer's disease has sometimes been called like a type 3 diabetes.
Oh, wow.
The brain doesn't utilize sugar correctly.
Oh, fascinating.
But as far as, speaking of diabetes, you know, if you have too much sugar, that is a high risk for getting diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes is a risk factor for getting Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
So there is a connection there, of course.
We'll take a quick break and come back and visit a little bit more with Dr. Boyd in just a minute. Again, you can hear him speak this Thursday at Renew Roaring Fork at the corner of 27th and Midland. The reception starts at 5, and then the presentation at 6 o'clock. And there's a little bit more information at renewsenior.com as well. Back in just a minute, you're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Lee Touchfarber, the CEO of Renew Roaring Fork. Brian Welker is his agent of record, okay. And Dr. Tim Boyd is the featured speaker this Thursday night at Renew Roaring Fork. Dr. Boyd, again, there's a reception at 5 o'clock tonight where folks can kind of visit a little bit with you. And then your presentation starts at 6, After the presentation, how much time do you expect to spend answering questions?
I will stay as long as there are questions. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can from anybody. If there's something I don't know, I will make sure to get back to anybody with an answer after I go look it up.
And for doctors that may have patients that they think may be able to get some benefit from this drug that, again, is still in clinical trials, so it is approved for other uses, has not been approved for Alzheimer's uses, will you be able to have those conversations with doctors or, you know, exchange information, that kind of thing, if it sounds like it's something that may be worth pursuing?
Oh, sure. Okay. It's interesting how science sometimes moves that way. That drugs are found with unexpected usages off-label, and it drives a whole new indication. But they have to all be done in the correct way, because the FDA won't approve it just with anecdotal evidence. They got to have a certain number of people through trials, some treated, some not, so that they can actually measure that and make sure that it's actually safe. I don't recommend it off-label, but I'm happy to have those conversations with physicians. But
in addition to the professional medical community, I think there's going to be a high level of interest for families who have loved ones, family members, whether it be a spouse or parent or other, who have some form of dementia or mild cognitive impairment, and they're sort of potentially on track for dementia. The reason being is because what Dr. Tim Boyd is working on is really extraordinary relative to the rest of the drug pipeline, what's under development in this domain. It goes above and beyond in terms of how it works and sort of the preliminary data that they have both in mice and also in the human trials. As they progress along, this isn't something that's necessarily decades off in terms of identifying a really potent, powerful treatment. If Dr. Boyd and the rest of his team are successful in moving this through the hurdles, this could be in the relative near term that this becomes FDA approved. And so I think for people like me and others who know people with the disease, this is a very fascinating thing that's happening here in Colorado.
Yeah, and it is right here in Colorado, right there on the Anschutz Medical Campus. And, I'm using broad strokes again here. I mean, I am a lay person, right? This, to me, this new drug, or I'm sorry, it's not a new drug, but the use of this drug for Alzheimer's patients sounds almost like it's as exciting as it was back in the 80s and early 90s when they developed AZT for AIDS patients. I mean, Dr. Boyd, you are the medical professional here. You could probably speak to that a little bit, but it sounds like it's that level of discovery.
We're cautiously optimistic. Yeah. I don't want to put any false hope out there until we actually know. But I am cautiously optimistic and excited about continuing and moving this forward as fast as possible.
And you can come Thursday, just to clarify, at 5 p.m. we're having a wine cocktail reception. So come at 5 p.m. You can meet Dr. Boyd, ask questions. His talk will start at 6. He'll go till 7:30 or so. And like he said, he'll stay and graciously answer any questions that you might have.
You going to be able to spend the weekend here, or are you headed straight back to Denver after Thursday night?
I'm actually heading back to Loveland. Okay. So that's where I reside now. Newly married and won't be able to spend more than one night away.
Congratulations. Larimer County is still a great place, one of my favorite places in the state, but you always want to try and do the Chamber of Commerce thing and see if you can get folks to stay an extra day or two.
I will come back. I love it up there. I love skiing. I love hiking even more, and it's just every hill is just as beautiful as the next, but they're all different, and I love them all. I love this state. I moved here in 2012, and don't regret one second of it.
Amen.
I was going to say plenty of opportunities for both. Dr. Boyd, thanks so much for spending so much time with us today. And again, you can hear Dr. Boyd speak this Thursday night. The reception starts at 5 o'clock at Renew Roaring Fork, and then Dr. Boyd's presentation starts at 6. Plenty of time for questions and that kind of thing afterward. It's everyone is welcome to attend, including even, you know, residents of assisted living, that kind of thing, their families, obviously, medical staff. Again, this is exciting research. I love what Dr. Boyd said, you know, still dotting, as I like to say, dotting the T's and crossing the I's, right? But if everything pans out, it looks like this could be very, very exciting for anyone that may have a potential for developing Alzheimer's in addition to those that already may have some symptoms. So, yeah, thanks again for gracing the Centennial State with your presence and our area, and for enlightening us with some great information this Thursday night. Gentlemen, any final comments from either of you?
I think what Dr. Boyd was talking about is really exciting for a lot of people because this particular disease touches everyone. Mm. Find somebody who hasn't been in some way touched by this disease.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really great opportunity for this to come to our valley. There's no cost for you to come and listen and you know, get some education on what's happening in the world of Alzheimer's.
And actually, that's a great point. Are you still there, Dr. Boyd?
Oh, yes, I'm still there.
I had a feeling you might be. Might this drug also be helpful to treat just general dementia or other areas, not just folks with actual bona fide Alzheimer's?
We're looking at that. We have a study going on for traumatic brain injury right now in the animals, and that's one thing that we'll be testing. And other research groups have already shown that it might be helpful for that. And traumatic brain injury is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease also. Mm. So we're looking at it for that. There's some research that we'll be publishing soon with Down syndrome. And we reverse cognitive impairment in those animals. And they, even though every human with Down syndrome is going to get Alzheimer's disease pathology by their fourth decade, and a lot of them will die of Alzheimer's disease, the animal model of Down syndrome that we tested this in does not have the amyloid plaques driving it. So this worked in a completely different way to reverse the cognitive impairment of these aged Down syndrome animals. And it had to deal with lowering inflammation in the brain. And I will talk a little bit about that on Thursday also.
Well, I don't know. At some point, we may be talking about Dr. Boyd in the same breath as, you know, Jonas Salk, Jarvik.
There you go.
You know, this is extraordinary if all of these, this research pans out. So interesting how everything is related. You know what I mean? And you find an answer for one thing and it's like, okay, well, what about this?
And there's a whole range of neurological diseases that this seems theoretically to apply to, as we've discussed, Down syndrome, MS, traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, and there are others.
Wow.
They all have commonalities to them.
Wow. It's Brian, I don't know about you. I'm just, my mind is exploding right now.
It's way too smart for me.
You're right.
But
I
know
have
enough,
no right even right. Being participating in this conversation.
But I know enough to know this. My grandmother passed away from Alzheimer's, and seeing her at the end was extremely difficult. And any sort of hope is welcome.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, you can hear Dr. Boyd speak. You can actually talk with him a little bit. Reception is from 5 to 6 this Thursday night at Renew Roaring Fork, the corner of 27th and Midland in Glenwood. Then the presentation starts at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome to attend. It's free, right, Lee?
Yeah, it's free. And cocktails, there will be wine and some food from 5, and we can chat. And there will be other people that we can chat with. And then the presentation starts at 6.
Low sodium, low refined sugar.
There will be,
I'm kidding.
There will be no salt at the door when you enter the building.
And by the way, if you would like to learn more, you can always go to the website, which is renewsenior.com. renewsenior.com. So renewsenior.com, again, the Alzheimer's talk, the first in the Renew Roaring Fork talk series featuring Dr. Tim Boyd this Thursday night. Again, reception starting at 5, Dr. Boyd's talk starting at 6. Gentlemen, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it.
Have a wonderful day. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.